One way to convince children that reading is fun is to read them stories. And one way to get them more interested in stories is to ask them to make their own. That's what happens at Stories Alive, based in Ashland. As the name implies, the group makes kids' stories come to life by taking the ideas they started with, polishing them up, and having them performed by professional performers. It's already happened on stage, and now Stories Alive is expanding into radio, or at least into podcasts. Let's learn more about people and process. Two guests in the studio with us. Anna Byers is the executive director of Stories Alive and the producer and director of the podcast as well. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Matt Damon, not the actor Matt Damon, is here in the studio with us. He probably hears that a lot. He's a librarian and a teacher and the author of a book that'll be presented at an event with Stories Alive on Saturday called The Fall of General Custard. Welcome, Matt Damon. Good to have you here, too.
Great to be here. Thanks, Jeff.
So, Anna, tell us about Stories Alive. I do remember we had Gene Renault here in January of 2014 as, as things seem to be picking up speed. A lot has happened since, I gather.
We go to schools, teach writing workshops, often supplementing curriculum, working towards teaching students benchmark skills in writing, reading, working on the writing process, which is a basic thing every student has to learn. But then we take all of those original stories that students write. They aren't writing for a grade, and they aren't writing for a gold star or anything like that. What they're doing is writing just to write. And we take everything that they create, we publish it in books and local and public libraries. And then we take 6 to 8 of those stories and turn it into a live show working with professional actors, taking it back to the schools and performing it for them. And with our podcast, it's the same concept, this time 3 to 5 shows to keep the podcast shorter. And we turn it into audio theater, which is sort of, you know, similar to the older Free to Be You and Me or the Cinnamon Bear, that sort of stuff. But yeah.
So when you take the stories back to school to put them on stage, I mean, how long is the lag time between when you're there the first time picking up the stories and then when you come back and deliver them to the students?
It's 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. In the 3 weeks, we read through all the stories. Sometimes there are hundreds. And we separate them down by genre and pick the best representative of each genre that pops up. And the genres are like adventure and science fiction and fairy tale and friendship stories, that sort of thing. And we turn those stories into scripts and then we workshop them with professional actors. Sometimes we are very, very true to what was written if the child has written a bunch of dialogue. But if they haven't and it's just more of a narrative, then we take the artistic license to fill in the dialogue and really work that with our actors.
You work with some fairly young kids, it looks like. I mean, I'm seeing stuff in here from 7-year-olds. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Kindergarten on up. Right now, we are working mainly in elementary schools, but we are definitely looking at implementing a curriculum that is district-wide, which works on getting middle school and high school students involved in almost more of the dramaturgical process as part of their writing instruction.
Stories Alive, again, the name of the organization. Anna Byers, the executive director. Matt Damon, librarian, teacher, and author. Matt, let's talk to you about, you do work in the schools on a regular basis, is that right?
Yes, I've been in the Ashland School District for 18 years now, teaching third grade PE, and now I'm working as a library specialist. Yeah.
How, since you have a good span of time now, as kids have become digital natives during that period where they always have screens in front of them, how difficult is it to get them interested in things like books and stories? As a librarian in these days?
Yeah, well, fortunately, particularly in Ashland, we have teachers that are very aware of the developmental stages of children, and really that screen time, you want to, you know, not have as much of it in the younger years, and reading is such a focus in the Ashland District, and that celebration of reading and keeping it really fun and having kids have a lot of choice with what they read. So it's not so much a jam it down your throat as it is just having a lot of fun with reading in the district. And that's one of the reasons I've loved working in this district. Yeah.
You obviously have handled lots of books over the years as a librarian. Have you written any before?
No, this is my first book that's being published. I've written a number of manuscripts, but this is the first published book, so I'm very excited. It's been a dream of mine for a long time.
The Fall of General Custard, or The Overthrow of a Leftover?
Yes.
It's a food fight.
Yes. It's interesting because the... you know, there's a food fight in it, and it's very well illustrated by Gideon Kendall, who's an illustrator in New York City. And he and I collaborated on this and worked out the scenes and so on. And he did a fantastic job. And so kids are often drawn to it because it's sort of like, yeah, food fight. But the central message of the book is ironically about peace and cooperation and community. And so although there are food fight scenes, there's a resolution, and we call it a peaceful resolution, as in P-E-A-S.
So the stuff in the refrigerator learns to get along?
Exactly, yeah.
Everybody keeps their own places. Keep them smells to themselves? Something like
that. Yes, yes.
Who was it who used that campaign? A long time ago. It was an advertising campaign that sticks with me. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Matt and Anna about Stories Alive. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. In fact, if you have a thought about a favorite children's story that you think should be getting in the hands of kids these days, let's hear about that. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So, Anna, do you use Matt's story and others by adults to help convince the kids of the value of what you're asking them to do?
Not as much as you might think. What we're really focused on is getting children to share what's in their heads. And it's so surprising the depth that they can come up with when they're writing, and in really beautiful ways that are not heavy-handed and often with metaphors that I'm not sure are intended but are definitely present.
Really? Mm-hmm. Things that are themes in their own lives that they're dealing with and that come up in their work?
Sure. We have children that address grief, loss, divorce, being bullied, feeling like an outsider, not feeling accepted. And they do it in a manner that is very sweet and hopeful and really wonderful to bring to life.
So you mentioned that you don't give grades for the stories that the kids put out. They don't get gold stars for them or anything. So, mm-hmm. I mean, beyond like, hey, this could get performed, mm-hmm. what is the incentive that is given to them?
Well, our writing workshops are based off of the work of, among other educator researchers, Lucy Calkins, with the idea that writing for personal relevance and cultural resonance is much more affirming and exciting for students than writing for a grade. Although with the Stories Alive process, there is very much a finale, even if the finale is just turning it into the story machine, which comes to all the schools with these workshops. We actually have some students that write prolifically, but want to only turn it into the machine and don't even want us to publish it and let us know that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. For them, I think the reward is having this permission to be as imaginative and creative as they want with no limitations.
Huh. So writing, in a sense, almost for themselves, really.
Exactly, which is how you create a lifelong reader and writer, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the story machine, because the story machine and Randall the Reading Rat have been mm-hmm. features of Stories Alive since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. The story machine and Randall the Reading Rat visit all the schools where we do the writers' workshops. And the concept is the story machine, driven by Randall, is the magical way that their stories become books and produced into shows, and it's also just an excellent period to the writing process. I'm done. I've turned it in. I am an author. It's in the story machine.
All right, so it's in the works.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then how do you convince kids though that they haven't sent it off to like a publisher and they'll never see it again? The idea of like putting it in the story machine and it's just going to get munched up. You have to be careful with the symbolism, I would think.
I guess I don't think that's ever been an issue though, especially since we do come back with their books published, often with our children's own illustrations for their stories as well. And it's this really cool opportunity for them to go into a library and say, hey, this is my work. It's real. Anyone can look at it.
Do you get any reluctance? Any kids you have to really prime the pump with?
Of course, there are children that aren't very excited about participating, and sometimes it's an age thing, and it might not seem as cool as it could. But I think as we incorporate the whole district level idea, the feeling of older mentorship with other students will be really encouraging for some of the reluctant writers.
Matt Damon, are there particular elements of story that you communicate to kids as librarian and teacher, and things you had to make sure you included in your own book as well, that make sure that you keep the lights turned on in kids?
Well, yeah, and I'd want to piggyback on what Stories Alive is doing with some of the stories that kids come up with. an adult writer could work for, you know, 100 years and never come up with these amazing ideas. Right. And they're so fresh, and they're, and the kids are not attached to a certain outcome or a story arc. But honestly, they get that story arc intuitively because they've heard so many great stories, especially if they've been in the Ashland School District, because that's a very common thing in the school district, is to have kids be read aloud to and really know stories in that way. So to answer your question about my book, yeah, I really wanted to write a book that had the themes of peace and cooperation and friendship. But I also didn't want to just write some sort of didactic book. I wanted humor as a real important element, and I wanted it to be playful. And I also never want to write a book that I wouldn't want to read myself to children and enjoy myself. And one of the greatest feedbacks I get is that the adults that read it are really enjoying the food puns and some of the humor that might not even hit some of the younger children. I like to create it sort of like a Disney movie where anybody should be able to come to the movie and enjoy it. And that's what I hope the book does, and so far that's the feedback.
So it's on two levels in a sense. You're talking Absolutely. To the adults with the words and talking with the kids with the pictures and the splats and all the other stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And you could have some very serious conversations about bullying and friendship and courage with this book, but start it out with humor and a dynamic of a community that's going through a conflict, yeah.
Matt Damon is a librarian, teacher, and the author of a children's book, The Fall of General Custard, or The Overthrow of a Leftover. He'll be presenting parts of that at the Back to School Festival in Ashland on Saturday. Stories Alive is part of that as well. Anna Byers is the executive director. She's here in the studio. And we do have some clips from podcasts they have done through the studios here at JPR. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, that we can talk about stories and how they might have influenced you when you were a kid and things that you love to read. I'm told it's Roald Dahl's 100th birthday this week, the inventor of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Willy Wonka and all the other characters. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Anna, before we hear the podcast stuff, I just want to get some sense of like what you see in the kids' faces when they get to see their stories performed by the Stories Alive actors.
There is so much delight and surprise, and children are so engaged. And it doesn't have to be their story. Before we perform each child's story, we say who it is, how old they were when they wrote it. And I think it's really powerful for other third graders to go, oh, that was written by a third grader. I'm a third grader. I could do something like that. So...
And so talk about the decision to go from staging them in front of the kids to going for an audio podcast kind of thing, a radio sort of presence.
Part of the mission of our organization is to create as many platforms as we can to celebrate student creativity and imagination and to give children a voice. And this is one more way to give them an opportunity to be heard and for us to celebrate what they created.
All right, so let's actually hear a chunk of one of these. Sean and the Lawnmower is the first one we'll hear from. And Sean is a lizard, is that right?
Sean is a lizard.
All right, let's hear a little bit about it. Sean narrates this part.
I'm almost home. What's that? Oh, darn. Ant crossing.
Hello, Sean. Goodbye,
oh,
Sean.
Hi, Mr.
Hello, Sean. Goodbye,
yes,
Sean.
I mean,
Mrs. Ant. Sean, goodbye.
Yeah,
Sean.
Grandpa Ant.
Hello,
nice.
Sean. Goodbye, Sean.
Okay, say hello.
Hello, Sean. Goodbye, Sean.
Sure.
Hello,
great.
Sean.
Always.
Goodbye, Sean.
Okay. Goodbye. Oh. Whew. Now I got to get home with my favorite stick. I made it. Made it home just in time to play with the best stick in the whole world.
I love listening to Sean talk about the best stick in the whole world. And it's not just because I like trains, but that's just a great image of ant crossing and all these ants going by going, hi, Sean, hi, Sean, hi, Sean. So how much adaptation did it take to turn this into more of an audio thing where you weren't, where people couldn't see what was going on?
That was so fun, taking this world that this child created and finding a way to bring it to life. The author wrote this. It was a short paragraph talking about Sean with the best stick in the whole world and how Sean saved all the other bugs in the yard from the lawnmower. And there's so much more to that if you really think about it. The suspense of it occurring and bringing that to life with all of the naturalistic sounds, it was so fun.
Are there lessons that are contained within each story in the final polishing, or do you pretty much run with what the kids give you in the first place?
We just go with what the kids give us. With Sean and the lawnmower, he saves all of his friends in his yard community, but that was in the story. Quite often, I think the young authors that we have come up with a much better message than we ever could.
Let's take a call here. We have Skeeter and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Anna Byers and Matt Damon from Stories Alive.
Hiya. Great program. I really encourage parents and teachers to really tell lots of stories to the children, and not only to tell them, but to encourage them to tell the stories. If you invite them to provide the characters for the story that you might tell and the context, that sort of thing. But and also you can make either a lot of your own pictures and mount them on cardboard and have them in random order, or have their pictures mounted, and then make up spontaneous stories using the pictures. But the main thing that I encourage people to do is to use some sort of tape recorder, whatever, digital or analog, and record what they and you tell with stories, because not only do you have an opportunity to put it down on paper or whatever forms for them to actually see their own stories, you know, they can have their own books, but years later you can actually listen back and hear your own children or your friends, and you'll be really happy that you did.
That sounds like fun. Thanks for the advice, Skeeter. Good to hear from you. Sounds like he's onto something there, and this is essentially what you're doing. I mean, the kids themselves aren't heard in the podcasts, but the voices that they create and the ideas they create in their stories are certainly heard there.
Sure. Well, there is a possibility that they'll be heard. In our upcoming October podcast episode, we are hoping to get one of our young authors to read a really wonderful poem that she wrote. And so stay tuned.
So you said this is from kindergarten up. So you have, that's quite a range of stories then and levels of expression. It must be some really interesting material. How do you get down, I guess, to just pulling out three or six to eight to take back to school, or three to put into a podcast?
Well, you know, it's not one person making the decision. We often pull together the entire cast of people who will be workshopping these stories, and we sit around figuring out which story lends itself best to being adapted either to stage or to an audio show. There are some stories that just lend themselves, like Sean and the Lawnmower, to all these really wonderful sound effects to bring them to life. Or perhaps it's a show that we know we can best express what's going on with amazing physicality on stage. It's really what lends itself to which performance.
Let me give credit to the original author, too, Sean and the Lawnmower by Madison Sink, who was in second grade at the time the story was written.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a little chunk here from the podcast version of Robo Trobo and the Talking Toilets by Kakoa Peck, who was in the first grade at the time. So let's hear a little bit of Robo Trobo.
It's me, Robo Trobo, zooming through space in my rocket ship. I'm amazing. I am Robo Trobo. One of my hands is a wrecking ball.
Cool. Want some potato chips?
Why, sure.
I guess I don't need my snack.
My other hand is a sword.
Cool. Give me five. Wait, maybe not.
And I also have sharp fangs and fire that comes out of my head and a laser eye and short legs.
Cool. Short legs.
Well, the fire that comes out of my head is also cool. Anyway, hey, would you kids like to play?
Yeah.
It sounds like a total room full of people, and I know this is done in the studio we're sitting in right now, which is maybe 12 by 18 at its largest. How'd you cram all those people in here?
We had seven people in here, around five microphones. I was sharing my microphone with Robo Trobo, and we got really cozy, and we had a ton of fun.
Who are the voices, then?
The voices for this podcast are Rodney Gardner, Caroline Schaefer, Jeannie Renault, myself, Anna Byers, Kathleen Hannigan, and Glenn Etter, and Richard Elmore.
Okay, Richard Elmore and Caroline Schaefer, I recognize as actors from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Rodney Garner as well.
Okay, and Jeannie Renault is the person we had here in the studio talking about Stories Alive.
And she originally... Oh, sorry. She originally moved to Ashland to perform at OSF as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So lots of good voice talent in there. How are you going to do podcasts monthly then? Is that what you've been saying?
Right. For the first 6 months, we are doing it monthly, and then we will transition to biweekly. Mm-hmm. we wanted to see how the process would go for us, and it went really well. It was smooth. It was fast. It was so fun, and it's such a great way to share children's work with a much wider audience.
Does it have any effect on what you've already been doing with the schools? I mean, do you have to devote some resources to the podcast that takes away from the schools, or is it in addition to?
It's in addition to, but actually the resources for the podcast are purely volunteer at this moment. All of the actors, professionals, though they are volunteering their time, JPR is amazingly helping us with all of the production aspects just as a supportive community partner. And I'm volunteering my time as the producer and creator.
Let's talk about this Back to School Festival. This is a Saturday, noon to four, it looks like, at the Lithia Park Butler mm-hmm. Bandshell. And mm-hmm. Matt, you're going to be one of the featured. What are you going to be doing with the fall of General Custard on Saturday?
Well, let's see. At the end of the festival or near the end, I will read the story aloud to the folks that are there. And then we're going to stage sort of a mock food fight with marshmallows. And this is untrodden territory, so we'll see how it goes. But I think it'll be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of kids excited about it.
I'm laughing because it sounds like the kind of food fight where at least if you're using marshmallows that haven't been toasted, nobody gets hurt and nobody gets too messy.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of toasted marshmallows. Yeah, that could add a whole new element. Yeah. But yeah, the hope is to let people know about the book and also just share the message of the book. I'm just thrilled to be able to read this book to an audience in Ashland. I've been to the public library, and of course I read the book to kids in school, but it's nice. This is sort of the coming out party for the fall of General Custard, or the overthrow of a leftover in the Ashland community. And so it's an exciting time for me.
Did you do some focus groups? Did you read the story as it was shaping to kids and change them things based on the input you got?
Well, having been a teacher over the years, I've taken out the manuscript and read it to kids unillustrated. And, of course, that's a very different experience. But I got a lot of good feedback and made little changes as a result of that. And interestingly enough, the publisher, Steve Scholl, who's a publisher in town with White Cloud Press, he saw me read it to a group of kids in his own child's classroom, and then he said, oh, what are you doing with this? And the rest is history.
Back to School Festival, Saturday at noon in Lithia Park in Ashland, The Fall of General Custard, or The Overthrow of a Leftover, is Matt Damon's book. Anna Byers is the executive director of Stories Alive, the podcast of Stories Alive, available at our website, ijpr.org. Thank you for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.